Hello, it's just great to be back to be sharing around the book of Acts. It's called the Acts of the Apostle, the Acts of the Church. And so, it's a even waiting on God means that, hey, we are actively hungry and pursuing Him. It's not just a place of passivity, but a place of knowing the will of God and walking in the will of God. And so in Acts chapter 23, it sort of gives us a bit of a history as the plot to kill Paul continues. And I just love the boldness of Paul and all the apostles and the church. They were just resilient in walking in the ways of God, and they were just so bold, not because it was an emotional psych up, but because they were convinced that the gospel is the truth. And so I want to start this chapter by asking you, are you convinced? Am I convinced that this is the solution? The gospel of Jesus Christ is the solution for mankind. You know, Paul said it in Romans 1 verse 16 and 17. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You know, this gospel is the good news. It means every time I preach it, it becomes good news to those who are on their way to destruction. But yet, as the modern church and as the Western church, we've lost our confidence. We've lost our boldness in the gospel. And so the gospel will always bring repentance. The gospel will challenge. The gospel will, you'll either love this good news or you will get offended. Jesus himself said, and Paul said it, you know, that it's going to be a rock of offense or a stone of stumbling. You know, we're going to fall over it. It's going to be in your road. It's going to be in your face. And so here, this chapter 23 is where Paul faces the Sanhedrin, the council of the Jews. And there were two groups, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I want to read the first verse here again, or the first and the second verse. Then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." What a statement standing in front of this Sanhedrin. "I address you earnestly." He was determined. You know, when you earnestly look at something, you are focused and you want to bring the truth. You know, and so he was looking at them and he says, "Look here, I've lived with a good conscience before God." He said it so many times. He says, "I'm even innocent of the blood of all men that I've met." But the question is, are we having this clean conscience before God today? You know, what is your conscience saying? Because your conscience is sort of your inner referee. You know what the values are. You know what God is saying in your life. And so if we ignore our conscience, we sort of get a very busy conscience sometimes through just a lot of negativity or stuff that we feed ourselves with. But isn't it such an amazing statement that Paul says, "I've lived before God, you know, with a good conscience." You don't live in the world just to like try and make it through the world. You're living in the presence of God. You're living before God. And that brings the fear of God, but also such a confidence because you know the position you have as a son and a daughter before God. And so when he stands in front of the Sanhedrin, I can almost see this picture of Paul saying that, "Hey, I'm accountable to God. My conscience before God, my hands before God," you know? And unfortunately, in the church in the West, we've become so culturally bound by the things in the West. We've not adapted to and adopted a new biblical worldview or just a basic biblical worldview. So we meet a lot of Christians that can't say, "I've got a clean conscience." They say, "Well, I feel good before people." But remember, we're either going to fear God or we're going to fear people. And so here he stands in front of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Just to give a bit of background, the Pharisees, they believed in the predestination, resurrection, angels, you know, and they were very focusing on the detail of the law. The Sadducees, they just said, "No, we are going to have free will. There's no resurrection," you know, and they only accepted the written law. The Pharisees accepted the oral law as well. So it was a much different approach to the law, you know. And so the one said yes, resurrection, the other one said no. The one said predestination, the other one said no. And yet these fights are today in the church. But see, what Paul did is was very, very clever. And it's obviously by the Holy Spirit. So he said, "Well, let's put it out there." And immediately there was a division. And we can learn from that because, you know, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And from there, verse 11 to 24, verse 25 to 35, we see the clash of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We see eventually how they try to kill Paul and the Roman guys come and take him away because he was a Roman citizen and he appeals to that, you know. And so God will give us platforms even in our community, in our society. And we see Paul's boldness to appeal to God and also to the natural circumstances. And Ananias, he was that high priest that, you know, Paul said, well, I didn't even know you're a high priest, because he was known by the fact that he was a thief, a robber, a glutton. He was just there for the Roman people, you know, to please the Roman people. He didn't really take care of the Jews. And so that's why Paul was almost like tongue in the cheek, you know, mocking him and saying, hey, are you really the high priest? Are you really fulfilling the role of who God says you should be? And then in verse 11 to 24, we see this group of 40 people taking a, what they call a sherem, meaning a vow, saying we are not going to eat again until this man is killed. The plot is unveiled. God sort of uses even the circumstances of Paul, because eventually he goes to Felix and eventually he moves into the in Caesarea, which is like the main area of the Roman Empire where all the judicial systems was. And he goes to stay in the governor's house, which is called the Praetorium. And from there, he gets open doors even in the high places. You know, it's so beautiful how we can see how Paul goes with the flow of the Holy Spirit. And so don't just think like you are in a place by chance. Don't just think like, oh yeah, I'm just trying something for God. Every day, say, Lord, give me an opportunity. Whether it's in front of the Sanhedrin, or whether it's in the governor's house, or whether it's just when I'm traveling, or when I'm in my car, wherever I am, I have an opportunity to bring the good news of Jesus. And there's such a boldness that these first guys had, and the ladies. And they were just excited because they were convinced that this is the answer, the cure for any virus, any spiritual virus, any disease is in Jesus. You know, and so we need to be challenged as the church today. Say, what is our boldness? You know, when last did we share our faith? Because some people say, yes, you know, let my life just bear good fruit. You know, Paul had great fruit, but he lived before God and therefore he could preach the gospel. Let's preach the gospel in this time where there's darkness and so many people are trapped. It's time to share the good news. Just send your testimony on to somebody in your family. Send your testimony on those WhatsApp groups. Send your testimony on the groups, the area that you live in. You know, there's so much negativity in many of those, you know, community groups. I say, guys, I just want to share this message of hope. You have the answer. It's not about you. It's not about me. But it's about our conscience before God. Because we are the salt. We are the light. And let's go share that. And Paul had that boldness. So I want to pray again for that boldness. I want to pray that God will make you be persuaded of the truth of the gospel. And hey, this is the answer, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you that you've given us the solution. We don't need a new touch, a new move. No, the gospel is good news. And we want to contend today again for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we repent of sometimes sharing our own gospel, prosperity gospel, or a feel-good gospel, or a comfortable, or even an encouragement gospel. But Lord, we want to share the gospel of Jesus, that people will come to repentance. People will get to know who you are and have clean consciences before you, because we live for you and before you. And so come and set us free, especially as the church in this time, we pray. Give us a confidence and a boldness again by your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.